Tonight, I just felt led of the Lord this week as I was thinking about the study to list to you reasons that God gives in His Holy Word that we should praise Him. And He knows that that is so helpful for our lives, because as I shared in the prayer there a little bit, that in Psalm 22 verse 3, it says that God inhabits the praises of His people. So when I'm kind of feeling that I'm not really going with the Lord, or have an absentee feeling about being close to God, as soon as I open my mouth in praise, then bam, that habitation, that massaging of the heart, that lifting of the soul rises up through the songs, through the praises, because He's inhabiting that praise. That's what He does. And, you know, that's why I believe so much in singing. And even when I do a speaking engagement where there's, you know, not really any singing or a musician, such as we had tonight, praise God for them, available, I'll just go ahead and say, you know what, we need to start with a song. And we'll just sing something to the Lord. And so I'm going to teach you a new song tonight, if you don't know it yet, at the end, because Daniel asked me to sing tonight. So I want to sing you, teach you, and a lot of you already know it, the song that was birthed from the Disneyland ride. What's it called? Joyful World? No. Small World. Yeah, there's actually a Jesus song with that tune. And so I'll teach you that tonight. And I want to talk now about praise. So it says in Psalm 103, let's turn to Psalm 103 in the Bible here. Psalm 103. And it does give us a command here, in a sense, but a happy command. As it says, bless the Lord. Yeah, that's what we do. We bless the Lord. In fact, yeah, Peter tells us that we are a royal priesthood to show forth the excellencies or the praises of God. That's who we are. That's what we do. So it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Everything that's in me, to bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And so sometimes we have a lapse of memory and we forget the benefits of God. And He is giving a command and a teaching here to us that we really shouldn't forget the benefits of the Lord. Now, how many benefits are there? Well, there's so many of them that the Scripture makes it clear that we have so many of His benefits, they're hard to even count. And I want to show you that Scripture. I quote it all the time, but I want you to see it tonight. So let's turn to Psalm 68. So keep your finger in Psalm 103 and just go back to Psalm 68 and verse 19. Psalm 68, verse 19. And it says this. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us every day, loads us daily with benefits. Even the God of our salvation, that's what He does. He daily loads us with benefits. Now, another translation says, He lifts our burdens. So that's kind of the same thing, really. Those are great benefits, to get burdens lifted, rolling off your shoulders like boulders, getting burdens lifted. He daily does this. And this sometimes goes unrecognized to us. And we just kind of take it for granted after a while. But, I mean, wow. I remember one of the brothers in the congregation, he actually kind of put a picture in my mind about him loading us with benefits. It's like he backs up to you with a dump truck of benefits and then just goes, and it just, he daily loads us with benefits. He brings in a load, like you see dump trucks bringing in loads of dirt to a different place, and they're dumping it all out, and it's just tons of stuff. And so that's what he does. Now, what we're going to do tonight in Psalm 103, let's go back there, is we're going to list five things, just five. Now, we are daily loaded with benefits, but these are five things that we can remember to praise God about, and they are eternal things and things that aren't attached to our mood. They're not attached to anything that might be happening as far as trials in our lives. They're just things that God has done and continues to do that we just remember them. And if we take any amount of time at all to remember these things, man, the praise just rises no matter what your situation is. And it's like Cheryl was saying in one of her songs there, whatever's going on, you can praise God for this. And here's five of them right here. So the first one is here in verse 3. It says, who forgives all your iniquities. Every single one of them is washed away through the blood of Jesus. All of your sins, all of your iniquities. And this is praiseworthy indeed. Who forgives all your iniquities. And so I wanted to talk on this one. This is such a huge one for just a few minutes. So I wanted to have you turn back to Psalm 32. Let's go back to Psalm 32 on the way he does forgive all of our iniquities, all of our sin, all of our transgressions, everything we ever did wrong, and actually will ever do wrong. He covered it all. Through the cross and took it away. And so we look at Psalm 32, and this, of course, is a psalm of David. I think only David could write such beauty. But it says this, Psalm 32, verse 1, blessed or happy is that man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputes or doesn't account to his account iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. There isn't any unclean spot in that man's spirit that God has cleansed. And God is able to do that through the blood of Christ, and we are so thankful that he is able, even as it says in Hebrews, to cleanse the conscience of dead works to serve the living God. Whereas the animal sacrifices were just fleshly examples of the coming sacrifice of Christ, the animals were not able to cleanse the conscience. But they would cover, the Hebrew word is kofar, the people's sins in Israel for another year as they would come in the Day of Atonement to the temple. And the priest would be in there and he would be throwing the blood of the animals that were sacrificed. And he would come out and pronounce the sins of all the people covered for that past year. And the people would cheer. But they would have to bring the animal sacrifices again the next day and the next day. But Jesus came and died once and for all. And the only way the people in the Old Testament were saved are by looking forward to the Messiah. Because you can't get by with just covering your sin. It's got to be taken away, washed away. And so Jesus is able to cleanse even the conscience. Wow. And you know, I saw a movie once years ago that just stuck with me. It was the Eric Little movie called Time to Run. No, that's a Billy Graham movie. Chariots of Fire, yeah. And in that movie, they said, you must have a clean conscience to the star of the show because you slept so well. What a blessing, man. To have a good night's sleep because you got a clean conscience. And the only way we can get that is through Jesus, to actually cleanse the conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And so that is the most beautiful thing. Now, this verse is so important in Psalm 32:2 that it's actually quoted concerning Father Abraham in the New Testament and his faith. And he's the father of the faith, as you know. So I want to take you to those scriptures. Let's go to Romans chapter 4 in the New Testament on this subject of iniquity and having iniquity totally taken away by the Lord Jesus. How thankful we are. Where is it? It's gone. It's gone. Romans chapter 4 and verses 1 through 8. Now, in Romans chapter 4, this is talking about the faith of Father Abraham. And it says this, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, things that he did, he has whereof to glory. But not before God. Nobody's ever going to boast before God. No. For it goes on to say, for what says the scripture? Abraham simply believed God. And it was counted unto him, the same root type word that's used back in Psalm 32. Blesses that man that sin and iniquity is not counted toward him. And it's really an accounting term. It's measured up. So it says, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So faith equals righteousness by just believing that Jesus died for that sin in my place. That erases that sin that could be used against me in a court of law and before God's great court of law, in the end, the great white throne judgment, but will not be used against me because Jesus took it away, nailing it to his cross, as it says in Colossians. It was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, to him that works is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. I do this work, and God gives me this, and I could do more work. And God gives me more. And this is what drives the poor Jehovah's Witnesses to knock and bang on doors until their knuckles are sore. But they just take these two-year deals where they knock on the doors because they're earning their way to make a place for them in heaven. And we just can't do that. Because our righteous works, the Bible says, are as filthy rags before God. Our hearts are desperately wicked, so wicked we can't even know them. And we have evil motives and different things going on that God has to cleanse. He has to do heart surgery and give us a pure heart and a new heart. And only Christ and His blood can do that, not how many doors I knock on. That's not going to get it. It's not enough. I must be cleansed through the blood of Jesus. And then with that cleansing and that powerful anointing, He begins to lay on my heart good deeds that we can do to please Him. Because we're so in love with Him, we just want to please Him. And that's then what happens in a very natural way. I've always found that it's so wonderful to run the ministry that way. You just wait until God gives somebody a burden and you give them the ball and you let them run with it, because they're doing it out of love for Jesus Christ. They see Tom sitting here tonight, and Tom has got this love for youth and this burden for youth, and he has been Pastor Steve's sidekick for how many years, Tom? 9 years, yeah. Just, he's here, he's so faithful, and he's here tonight, you know, just to, if any youth had been here or chosen to come tonight, Tom's here to watch over them. And that is just a blessing to have that faithfulness, but it's just because you love it, huh, bro? I've seen this man in action. Will you ever have fun with those youthies, right? Yes, you do. But there's one thing wrong with him. He roots for UCLA. Got you, bro. I always tease him about that. Yeah. And you know, there's other things we can say right away, and that's this burden for the homeless. It just rose up in Brother Dan, rose up in Brother Brian, and they're doing stuff about it. You know, they're getting out there and trying to take care of those homeless people. And it's just a burden that they have. It's just like you can't stop the waves from breaking in the ocean, and you can't stop these guys from going over there to the homeless. That's what they want to do. But it's a natural, blessed touch of Jesus Christ that brings that anointing. And it's a very natural thing after we fall in love with Him. We love Him because He first loved us. It's as simple as that. And we do it out of pure love. And I see Aida back there. She's the busy bee for Jesus. She's always working hard for Him, and all of us together, just doing our parts in the body of Christ. It's wonderful. So now, to him that works is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. We just read that, and so that's not the way it goes. But to him that works not, but simply believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And now here is where the Apostle Paul, in giving us a Bible study on this very fact, the cleansing blood of Jesus taking care of all my sin, as he quotes David from Psalm 32. And he says, even as David also describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes, again, puts to his account, righteousness. And I want to finish the verse. Without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. But further than that, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute or account to him any kind of sin at all. It is the most blessed thing. And as we gather at Thanksgiving, man, if you can't be thankful for anything else, you can be thankful that you're not going to hell. I'm clean! And I'm fresh before the Lord. And they ask why, people ask, Christians, why do you got these smiles on your faces all the time? It makes me sick. Have you ever had anybody say that to you when you're really happy in the Lord? But you see, the thing is this. Man, we've got every reason in the world to have smiles so big they hurt. Because we are not going to hell, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to heaven. Because Jesus took it all away. Everything that could be said against me, every ordinance that could be brought up against me, has been washed clean by the blood. And so we are thankful that our iniquities, our transgressions, our sins have been forgiven. Hallelujah. Now, I'd like to go back then to Psalm 103. Let's go back to Psalm 103. And this subject is so incredibly wonderful. We're not going to leave it yet. There's more scriptures in Psalm 103 concerning these things. And so I want you to turn with me to Psalm 103, verses 10 through 14. And it says this, so I find it again here, Psalm 52, got a few decades to go here, 103, okay. And starting in verse 10, it says this, He has not dealt with us after our sins. The Lord has not had His dealings with us after our sins. He wants to get rid of those. He doesn't want to deal with them. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. No, He hasn't done that. He's busy about doing something else. Remember when Jesus came and they wanted to call fire down from heaven on Samaria because they didn't receive Jesus right. Lord, should we call fire down from heaven? And the Lord started calling those two brothers that said that, James and John, the sons of thunder, because that they wanted to bomb the place. And He said, don't you know, the Son of Man came into the world to save the world, that the world through Him might be saved. That's what His mission was, and He got it accomplished very well. So He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, verse 11, so great is His mercy towards them that have a godly fear for Him. As far as the east is from the west. Now, did you ever wonder where that verse was? Because people quote this all the time, especially me. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Now, I'd like to give you something on this. It really blessed me the first time I heard it, and maybe you haven't heard it yet. So, actually, if you're talking about north and south, there's a place to end when you go north. It's called the North Pole. And there's a place to end when you go south, the South Pole. But east and west, there's no place to end. So when He says you're going to get your sins removed from you as far as the east is from the west, at any point on the globe, you can always go east and you can always go west. And the two really never meet. It just depends on where you are on the globe. But you're always going to be not able to solve that problem. It's mathematically impossible. And so as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your sins from you. You'll never get to the east pole or the west pole. You never get there. It's gone. They're just gone. So far has He removed our transgressions from us. And then verse 13 says, like a father, and this is really touching for us, those of us that have been fathers, like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear Him. The pity that a father has in his heart for his child, and how you can see grown men cry when little kids have cancer or they're hurting, because they are compassionate and filled with love and care for their kids. And that's the way the Lord is with us. Like a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear Him. For He knows our frame. This is such a comforting verse. I have this verse on the wall in my office, and it ministers to me every time. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. And it's good for us to remember that once in a while. I mean, we're just dust. We're made out of a handful of clay. And that's all we are. And He remembers that. He knows we need help. He knows we need a Savior. He knows that if our salvation depended on anything that we had to do, that we'd never get there. because we're unreliable and the flesh is weak. But the Spirit, oh yeah, brings life. And so He knows that frame of ours, how weak we are. I am weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. And so He remembers that. He remembers that we're made out of dust, and He provides for that and has provided for that through the death of Christ, as we simply believe. Now, I'd like to ask a question and then answer with a few more scriptures in Psalm 32 on this subject. How is it that we can enter into this blessedness, this faith? What is our step to enter in to this blessedness? And that answer is given very clearly again through David in Psalm 32. So let's go back to Psalm 32, and it lets us know about this. It says in Psalm 32, verse 3, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long." Boy, the King James can really describe it. I mean, that your bones begin to feel old. I'm getting old. You ever say that? Yeah. Through their roaring all day long. If you've got unconfessed sin in your life and you're a Christian, your bones will wax old through their roaring all day long. You're just convicted, and you got to get it up to the Lord. That's what God wants. And so, yes, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer." I always picture a guy in a hammock with an iced tea, to drink down a big iced tea and be, get that thirst quenched. But you know how thirsty you can get in the middle of the summer in a hammock in the backyard, but you're too lazy to get up and get your iced tea, but you gotta have it. And finally, the getting up wins out, you've gotta go. But it's that the moisture is turned into the drought of summer as God has His hand upon our lives night and day when there's unconfessed sin. And then verse 5, the good news here. "I acknowledge my sin unto you, and my iniquity I haven't hid from you." Lord, you and I have such an open relationship. Here it is. We both know what my sin is, and I'm just telling you about it right now. And I need to be saved. I need to be born again. I need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I need to go your way. And Lord, this is the way it is. "And so I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. And I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin." And that's when the forgiveness can freely flow, because I've recognized my sin. It's just like what they say to an alcoholic. The first step to being healed of alcoholism is to confess that you're drunk. You're a drunk. I'm an alcoholic, and I need help. And everybody can stand up and cheer, because that guy is on the way to a healing. And so it's the same with the Lord. "I will confess my transgression unto the Lord. You forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto you in a time when you may be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come near unto him." You just feel like $1 million. You feel like a brand new 7-year-old kid at Tom Sawyer's Island at Disneyland for the first time. You're just set free. "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." And so many, when times we have our singers just really giving testimony of their deliverance as they sing. And that is a blessed thing. And then I'd be remiss to not read to you verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you shall go. I will guide you with my eye. God is waiting to do that. God's waiting to do that. And when a person turns to Him and confesses their sin and asks for forgiveness, He begins to instruct them and instruct us in the way we should go. And guide us with His eye. Because He knows where He's going. I don't know where I'm going. Do you know where you're going? Nobody knows where they're really going until the Lord speaks to your heart and takes you on His journey. And so this is something really big in the Bible, and it's very comprehensively talked about all through the Bible. And if we can catch the reality of this, that I simply give my sin to the Lord, confess it to Him, and He cleanses me and forgives me and makes me like Mr. Clean, squeaky clean, ready for heaven by His grace and not through anything I did or didn't do, just His grace through faith. He accounts my belief on my account in heaven as righteousness. And that is something to be thankful for. So number one, He forgives all your iniquities. Now the second thing then, and let's go back to Psalm 103 now, Psalm 103, that we can be thankful for, that is really nothing that we can earn or is, you know, created by us. But He says this, who heals all your diseases. Now notice that word all. And then you can begin to think about maybe some chronic things that bother you through life. Well, let me tell you this. In 50 years from now, or maybe 70 on the outside for everyone here, you aren't going to hurt anymore with anything. This is the truth that He's speaking. You can thank Him that He's redeemed you or He's forgiven you from all your iniquities. And He heals all your diseases. One day, we're all going to be perfectly healed. And in the meantime, He's doing what He's doing. And sometimes we don't even know. Could be just Job things He's got to do in us to test our faith. But anyway, when we get there, it will be really nice to get there. I'd like to give you a scripture on this. Let's turn to Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4. Revelation chapter 21 and verses 3 and 4. This is talking about when Jesus comes back and how the healings will be there immediately. It says here in Revelation chapter 3 and 4, as the Apostle John actually sees the new heaven and the new earth, and in verse 3 it says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Glad that's over. Neither sorrow. No more sorrow, none, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. So the pain that we suffer from the sicknesses we have will be gone forever. For the former things are simply passed away. And so this statement isn't something to take lightly. Back in Psalm 103, it says that He heals all your diseases. Now, in the meantime, He asks us to have that faith about what's going on. And sometimes He heals us immediately. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes He lets things linger in our lives for a long time. And I personally think that life gets harder when you get older so that you're glad to go to heaven more. You're just really appreciative when it happens. Say, thank God I shed that old thing. I got rid of that old carcass. But I'd like to tell you a story that really touched my heart years ago on this subject. There was a girl that was born blind. She had never seen anyone. But she would come to church, and she was really good with the other senses. And they say that, you know, if you have one sense that's gone, the other senses are heightened. And she would feel the sunlight coming through the stained glass windows. And she would just say this, "The first person I will ever see is Jesus Christ." That's beautiful. Isn't that beautiful? It just touches my heart. And so that's where she was with this. And she was thankful for that part of it. That the first person that other people see are other human beings, but the first person she'd ever see is the face of Jesus. And she was looking so forward to that. And so he does heal all our diseases. Now, let's go on to verse 4. It says, "Who redeems your life from destruction," or another translation to that one is, "Who redeems your life from the pit." And we know the psalmist said this, "He brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock." And this is really talking about destruction and the pit being like the abuso that's mentioned in Revelation, and being cast into a pit of destruction and despair. But God has delivered us from that also. And this is something to really be thankful for. You know, there was a situation in my own life that really, really brought this out. And it's kind of like being thankful that you're not going to hell. I had a call to go visit a guy at the Veterans Hospital in Long Beach that had been in a high-speed chase. He was a police officer, and he was only 26 years old. But he flipped his squad car. He's going 135 miles an hour chasing a Porsche. And when he woke up, it was 3 months after his accident, and he'd lost the use of his body. He was paralyzed from the neck down. And he also lost his wife because she was a non-believer, and she left him. And him being in a coma for that long, you could do stuff like that. And so when he woke up, he had lost his kids, his wife, and the use of his body. And I'm supposed to go visit him as a young pastor. And I was really scared. I'll just be honest with you, to go, what am I going to say to this guy? You know? What do you say? So I got there, and God turned the whole thing around on me because he started ministering to me. And he says, "I am in a God capsule right now." That's the way he described it. He said, "I woke up in a God capsule. Before this happened, I was agnostic and very prideful. And I thought I had the world by the tail," kind of thing. "But now," he says, "I've realized the reality of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he's put me in a God capsule. And guess what, Mark? I'm not going to hell." And he realized that because God stopped him in his tracks and turned him around, he's not going to hell. He's not going to the pit of destruction. And that is really something so big to be thankful for, that it meant that much. That God would actually allow that accident to get that guy out of going to hell. And he's going to thank God for eternity about that. And he knew it. It was a revelation that the Lord gave him to go with the accident and the loss of these things to really get him through his life. And I'm telling you, I felt like I was in the throne room to be with him. It was awesome and a blessing. And so there it is. It's very important. And it really should be remembered as a huge benefit. And thanking God so much for that. Now here in verse 4 at the end, and this would be then the fourth thing, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Don't you know that the Lord does this? And for any of us that have been saved for any length of time at all, there's those times when you just know that God is just giving you a loving kindness, a kiss from Him, a hug from Him, just when you need it. And His tender compassions and mercies, He feels with you and He lets you know. If we have our antenna up to hear Him, we can hear Him so clearly, and it's such a blessing. And again, I just wanted to share something from my own life on this score, this loving kindness, tender mercies. We just got back from Israel, and it was a tremendous trip. And God knows I don't like tunnels. And so every trip that we go to Israel, I'm kind of hoping that I might be able to get out of the tunnel, because it just bothers me. Be that as it may, God knows this. Well, there was this lady in our group that had a bad hip, and we really felt sorry for her, because we had to do a lot of walking in Jerusalem. And if you have a wheelchair, it's difficult because there's a lot of stairs. Jerusalem is a city built on a hill. And so we got to the tunnel day, and both tunnels were back to back on the same day. So, you know, if I got away from one tunnel, I could probably get away from the other one. But that was behind me, because I was getting prayed up to say, hey, I'm going to do this. I don't enjoy it that much, but I'm going to do it, you know, be a good shepherd to the sheep and keep my mouth shut and stuff. But anyway, Miriam, the guide, had told us that if this lady gets any worse, that either Sherry and I are going to have to get a cab and take her back to the hotel. So we're going down the first stairs to get to the first tunnel, and I'm watching her, and she's really in a lot of pain. And aside from the whole tunnel issue, I'm thinking, man, maybe it's time to get that cab for this woman. And I said, does it hurt more going down the stairs or coming up? And she says, oh, definitely down. And I knew from going down several other times on other trips that there's a lot of stairs to go down. So I just thought the shepherd thing to do right now is to get a cab and take this lady back to the hotel. So we did. And so I got her and her sister, and we found a cab right out front of where we were. It was, you know, really neat the way God set that up. Got back to the hotel, and they're in the room right next to me. So they're fine and they're good in there. And I go in, throw myself on a king-size bed, and go, I've been delivered from the tunnels. And I knew it was the Lord. He just didn't want me to have to face that. And I'm laying there, and I turn on the TV. Oh, it's great to use the controller again. And the TV comes on. It's the beginning of the Rams game. Couldn't believe it. I had missed the Rams game before we went on the trip. But there it was on Hebrew TV. Then the loving kindnesses are multiplied, and the mercies and compassions come, and I felt the love of God so deeply because there wasn't one commercial. Not one. Over there in Israel, they play the whole game, and they never do one commercial. It was a miracle. Wouldn't you say? A loving kindness and a mercy. So I was so blessed and so thankful to God. He confirmed that that was all Him. He set that up and He just did that. And haven't you had experiences like that? How many have had experiences like that where you know God just set it up so that you would be totally blessed? Yeah, I get a late hand from Dan here. Right? That's good, brother. And isn't God good? But, you know, we can thank Him for these things. Lord, so I'm going to thank Him for the Rams game, especially tomorrow, right there. Yep. He crowns you with loving kindnesses and tender mercies. And then verse 5 says, who satisfies your mouth with good things. That word for mouth can also be translated desires. And I think that that's a better translation because that's a larger scope of things. You know, He gives us good things to eat, and we're thankful for that. And we're going to be thanking God for the turkey and all that goes with it. But who satisfies your desires, that's the NIV translation, desires, with good things. Now, the reason I mention that is because of the verse in Psalm 37 that says this, and I'll quote it to you, I'm sorry, Psalm 37. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And you know what? Sometimes we don't know what those are, because the heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? Who can know it? We can't really know our own desires. You ever see that in a teenager? They don't know what they want so many times, and they need direction. And that's the same it is with adults as the children of God. We don't know what we really want. Now, we might think we do, but we get off track. And what God has to do is show us again what the real desires of our heart are. He created us. He knows what will be a great blessing for us. And so He'll create the desire, and He'll let the desire grow, and then He'll bring it to you. If you delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart, who satisfies your desires with good things. For every good and perfect gift comes down from above. Now, I wanted to say one thing about this subject before we end with Isaiah 40. But sometimes this idea of not knowing what is best for you or what will bless you and be best in your life and in your family's life, you don't know. And God will bring it to pass, and it's the kind of thing where you'll want to say, I'm glad You made me do this, because I kind of dragged my feet on it, Lord. But You made me do this, and I'm so glad You did. And that is an experience, I think, that comes with this idea of God creating the desires in our hearts. And it sometimes He's got to work hard at that, because we just want to go the wrong way. But He just bends that path for us and brings us to that place of delighting ourselves in Him. And then the desires of our hearts spring forth, and it is a mighty great day. Now it says then at the end of verse 5, and this is the last thing we'll look at, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now eagles get feathers, new feathers, brand new feathers every year. So when you see an eagle flying in the air, and they live a long time, a 2-year-old will look the same as like 34-year-old, because their feathers are brand new every single year. Now, I believe that kind of ends at age 17 for us. What we, our skin is renewed every 7 years, I believe it is. I learned in college or whatever. And then until you get to be a certain age, and then your skin begins to age. And you'll notice it kind of droops. Have you ever noticed? I don't know, maybe you haven't noticed that yet. But, and it gets lines on it, you know, little tiny lines. Where do these lines come from, you know? And I think they're called wrinkles. But anyway, that happens. But you see with the eagle, owls, man, they get new feathers every year. And so the Lord is letting us know what happens to us spiritually. When we're with Jesus, man, the adventure needs are met in our lives. The love needs, of course, are met in our lives. And we really feel new. You just feel born again. And I've used that phrase a lot. You know, I feel born again again. I feel born again again at certain things that will come to pass. And that actually happened on this Israel trip for me. It really did. It was the best trip I've ever taken. It was just marvelous, you know, including the rams. But it just turned out so good. Like the eagles. And so let's just end with Isaiah 40. Let's just end with Isaiah 40, the famous eagle scripture that is so great to read, to be thankful for tomorrow and every day. Isaiah chapter 40 and verses 29 through 31 of Isaiah 40. It says, "He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." And you know that's happening more and more with our youth. I saw another one the other day, and his little sign on the back of his car was "suicidal tendencies." Well, man, that's not safe. Suicidal tendencies. The youth will faint and grow weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. That's bad stuff. But then it says next, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, become brand new, get those new feathers, man, and feel young again. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." So what promises here for us, and what mighty things, as you go down the list, to be thankful for, grateful for, and that we're to give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's what the Bible teaches. I think Jonathan's sermon, I listened to Jonathan's sermon on the internet while I was gone, and he said that Aunt Jenny told him that you should pray every day 15 minutes only praises. And it's kind of hard because you start praising God for something and then you make a request. Oh man, I made a request. So you got to go back and just think of things for 15 minutes straight to thank God for in your life. And it is just a life-changing thing. And so, wow, Jonathan tried it and he's loving it, and Jenny's been doing it and got me going on it now too. Just, hey, benefits to thank God for. Amen. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Well, let's pray together. So Father, thank you, Lord God, that you love us so much. You encourage us and strengthen us, and Lord, just exhort us to do certain things that you know that will give us victory in our lives, and one of them is praise. And so, Lord, thank you for Thanksgiving every year that we can celebrate. And Lord, we want to be truly, truly thankful to you for everything you've done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. And if you need any prayer tonight, the prayer room will be open for you. My brother Dan will be in there to pray with you. May God bless you, give you a great Thanksgiving. Don't eat much too much turkey because you need room for the pumpkin pie. God bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Amen.